بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, may Allah bless you. We are looking at the different ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reinforced the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we understand the importance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives, and that we value this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we value the fact that we are his ummatis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this unique privilege and honor of being in the ummat of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We come to the last of the pillars of Islam, which is Hajj. Now, as you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Hajj, and he said that Hajj, it is the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that to do Hajj to the house of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is fard on all human beings. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and said that Allah said it mentioned on all human beings, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the one who refuses that, who does not do Hajj, even though it is fard on all human beings, is that Allah does not need him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discarded and he said, Allah does not need you if you do not want to make Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the Muslim on whom Hajj becomes fard, he or she does not do Hajj, and dies without that, meaning the Hajj was fard on them but they did not do it, and they die without that, without having done Hajj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they will be resurrected with the Yahud and Nasara. They will be resurrected with the non-Muslims. So this is a very, very important farida on us. Right now we are in the midst of the problems of Corona. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease these and to make it possible for us to go and do Hajj as smoothly and as nicely as we used to do, inshallah. Now, once again with Hajj, what is Hajj? What constitutes Hajj? All of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to and gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Quzu anni manasikakum." He said, take from me the manasik, the principles, the rules of Hajj, right? The stages of Hajj. Now, very interesting. Allah said Hajj is fard to Baytullah, to the house of Allah. And the house of Allah, we know, is the Kaaba. But on the day of Hajj, where are you supposed to be? In Arafah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam marked the boundaries of Arafah, and he said that if anyone who is not standing within this boundary on this plane, for him the Hajj is, he has not done Hajj. So if unknowingly, may Allah protect us from that, but knowingly, if on the day of Arafah, if you go outside the boundary of Arafah, then you have not done Hajj, even though you may have done everything. For example, if somebody says, well, you know, the Quran says Hajj is to the house of Allah, so I'm going to go and on 9th of Zulhijjah, I'm going to be in the Haram, in Makkah, I will, you know, make tawaf of Kaaba all day, and my Hajj is over. No, it's not over. It's you have not done Hajj because you did not follow the rule that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. For example, the whole thing from the beginning to the end, what is a Haram? What are the rules of a Haram? What breaks the rule of a Haram? What must you do if you commit something for which you need to make the kafara? What is the kafara? The dam that you give, the sheep that you slaughter in charity. All the manasik, where does it start from? Where am I supposed to be on the 8th, on the 9th, on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah? Why is Hajj in Dhul Hijjah? itself. I mean, okay, sure, the month has got a name, but my point is that, you know, why is it not in some other month? All of these questions are answered by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and reiterated and emphasized the glorious status and the glorious position of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that this deen of ours is a deen of love. It's a deen of a deen which came to us directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And it's something that we appreciate, truly, thoughtfully appreciate. I know we appreciate, all of us, alhamdulillah. It's not as if we do not appreciate, but I'm saying, do we really think about that? Do we reflect on it? If I ask you or you ask me, tell me what are the top three benefits of being a Muslim, can I say that without even thinking? Is it something that is so intrinsic, so internal to me that I can say it just like that, you know, in a snap? Or is it something that I have to think about and say, scratch my head and say, oh yeah, maybe this, maybe that? Which one is it? Now, this is the beauty of Islam, that if we, and that's the beauty and the importance of living Islam, because you can answer this question only if you live Islam. Now, you might say, why must I answer the question? Well, I'm just asking this as a question. You don't need to answer it to me, but really we have to ask ourselves this question and say that if I'm asked this question by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is my answer? What am I going to say? If I ask this question, what will I say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now, that is where to make the deen real. To make the deen real is so important for us, because it's only when we make it real, it's only when it becomes something that is so critically and truly important for us, that we will do what it takes to make it happen. Right? Just think about that. If there is an appointment that you have with somebody, you know, who is important, right? Take for example. I mean, if you are in a country, say for example, you go to America, Canada, or something, and you have now an appointment with the immigration authority in order to get a final decision on your visa. Believe me, as long as you are walking, as long as you can, even if you are sick, right? Even if you are, if you're seriously sick, you won't do it. But even if you are mildly sick, you will still go to that appointment. If you have some fever, some headache, you won't say, well, you know, today I have a headache, I won't go. No, you will go. And anything else, if you are working, you will apply for leave for that day. May Allah protect us. I don't know how many of us, if the appointment is at the time of Salatul Jum'ah, I don't know how many of us will say, well, you know, this is Salatul Jum'ah, it's fard from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has more authority than this immigration guy. So I'm sorry, I can't make it because I have to go for Jum'ah. I don't know. I mean, you know, seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question. We have to ask ourselves this question. If I give up Jum'ah and I go for the immigration appointment and I die, then how will I be seen before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As somebody who gave up Jum'ah because of the immigration appointment, I'm very frightened when I say these things. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from these tests and not put us in these tests where we might be forced to answer this question for ourselves. May Allah protect us from that. So the point I'm saying is that that's the reason why it is important for us to live Islam, and to live Islam very thoughtfully. It's not just a, you know, default setting. I was born a Muslim, so I will die a Muslim. No, there is no such guarantee. You are born a Muslim, but if Allah does not protect you, and I ask Allah to protect you, and I ask Allah to keep you always in His safety, but there are many people who are born Muslim and who die without Islam. They either die completely without Islam, as if by actually going out of Islam, and others who die without Islam because effectively there is no Islam in their lives. I mean, they don't pray, they don't fast, they don't do Hajj. They are eligible and so on, but they don't do that, and so on and so forth. So these are people who are, you know, I mean, did they actually die as Muslims or not? I don't know. It's not our job to sit in judgment on them, so please don't do that. But I'm saying this is something for us to think for ourselves and say, if I'm in that position, would I be considered a Muslim when I go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when I go in my qabr, and the angels, Munkir Nakir, they ask me, Man Rabbuk, Ma Deenuk, what will I say? How do I say Rabbi Allah when I never, you know, showed any allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I say Deen Islam when I did not even follow the basic fundamental principle of Islam of fasting and zakat and of salah, zakat and fasting? How do I say Deen Islam when I was eligible and I was liable to for Hajj? I had the money, I had everything else, when I just didn't go. I did not take the trouble to go for Hajj. How do I say Deen Islam? Because on that day, when I'm in my grave, it's not my clever tongue which is going to work. It is actually my actions which will speak. And if the action is not there, well, how is it going to speak? And that's why it is so important for us to ensure that we live this beautiful deen of ours. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman.